The Radio Avenger.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are on the program, and welcome back to the midweek edition of Rick Adams Uncensored. And in this first hour tonight, at least the first half hour, maybe the whole hour, if we get some feedback here, will be our guest, who's no stranger to the airwaves. And, of course, he is none other than Ted Pike of truthtellers.org, the website. And he is here to talk about the updates pertaining to the measures, pro and con, of the so-called heat bills in Congress. Good evening, Ted.
Good evening, Rick.
Well, nice to have you back for an update. A lot has happened since we last spoke, I gather.
Yes, it has. Did you see my email that I sent out to you tonight? Today?
Yes, the Barney Frank one, yes.
Absolutely. Well, things are moving very, very quickly now. As our listeners are probably aware, Congress has been on vacation. We'll be coming back next Monday, the 20th of April. And the Washington Blade, which is a online homosexual news magazine, today said that, and I'll quote them, U.S. Representative Barney Frank of D. Massachusetts, the longest-serving openly gay member of Congress, announced Thursday that the House Judiciary Committee would consider the legislation, meaning his Conyers hate bill, the week of April 20th. He's expecting the committee to pass the bill and that the House will vote on the bill later this spring. And Becky Dancy, who is the head of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, believes that she and Joe Solomonese believe that the bill will be on the floor of the House before the end of the month.
Well, we have the usual suspects then bringing this bill to a quick movement, they hope. And yet in the House, this is as far as they've gotten. But in the Senate now, the United States Senate, I don't know. I don't believe they have introduced a companion bill yet, have they?
No, that's not quite in. I forget his first name, but Senator Edward Kennedy's son is taking.
Oh, Patrick, little Patrick.
Patrick is evidently very much a clone of his father and is becoming kind of the leader in the Senate. With his ailing father, he is taking up the torch for the federal hate crime, the bill, and is promising to introduce it pretty quickly.
Well, there you go. Isn't that convenient? Like father? Like son, Ted.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting because now as we consider what you've just told us, there is some very important good news as well because I know that you have mentioned the awakening of the evangelical community and the Christian fundamental community in this fight as well, and you might want to update us on that as well.
Well, I have been struggling, of course, literally for the last 3 months to get the big Christian conservative organizations mobilized in opposition to the hate bill, and we've had an incredible and baffling silence literally for 3 months, but it may be changing.
Good. Well, we'll talk about that as well when we come back, and some of the other issues making news in Washington pertaining to homeland security and right-wing extremists. I'm Rick Adams. Ted Pike is my guest. Listen up for Rick Adams Uncensored. Be right back. All righty, we're back with Ted Pike. And Ted, just to get back to the last point I was making about the so-called new right and the evangelical right beginning to get involved in this fight, how has that become a reality now?
Well, I was able to determine just in the last day or two before Congress went on recess that Representative Conyers was very quietly introducing his new, more extreme hate bill into the House Judiciary, and that information just went all over the place, including to WorldNet Daily, and they. On Thursday, April 2nd, they produced an excellent article which went to 7 million evangelical Christian conservatives in America, and also Traditional Values Coalition, which has two offices nationwide, put up a good stiff e-alert on their website against it. But I was very gratified just the end of last week when the American Family Association, which is one of the very largest Christian conservative watchdog groups in America, finally came out of real obscurity on this bill and put up at the top issue on their alert page protest against H.R. 1913, a Conyers bill. American Family Association has tremendous media empowerment and influence in America. It has 180 radio stations it owns in 38 states, as well as a lot of other media outlets and so on. It is very influential in boycotts and media protests and things like that. And so I am very hopeful that they will begin to get the necessary. They can produce more than a million communications into Congress on red-hot issues. And so I'm very optimistic there. Unfortunately, some of the other big giants, including Focus on the Family, Concerned Women for America, and even Family Research Council, are not sounding the alert in specific terms. They're, of course, making it clear they're against a federal hate bill, but they aren't, for some strange reason, they simply almost refuse to divulge Conyers' bill, the name, the number, and really get action going in there. I speculate in my latest e-alert, which is found at truthtellers.org, that they may have some kind of a backroom agenda. Tony Perkins of FRC did say that they are planning on working close with Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, trying to muster 40 votes there in order to filibuster the hate bill if it actually gets to the floor of the Senate.
Right, right. Now, what about Barney Frank's moves now, besides his usual sexual proclivities and what he's done to the American taxpayer vis-a-vis the bailout of the industries that he was intimately involved in, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and so forth? What about his moves now on the hate crimes, hate speech bills?
He's the equivalent of what Senator Kennedy was in the Senate. He is the champion of the homosexual rights, the hate bill forces in the House of Representatives. He is their lion, very articulate spokesman and bulldog for this. And his statement, quoted by the Gay Blade, is of course to be taken very literally. What I had predicted, of course, over the last 3 months was that when the final hate bill was introduced, it would move through very rapidly. I described the previous two bills, which had been introduced by Jackson Lee of Texas, as just basically decoy bills that were there largely to take the flak and draw attention, as well as to incapacitate the religious right, because the religious right wants to do everything in a very formal and very proper manner. They don't want to do anything, including education, until they have got the final bill and bill number, name, and everything all pinned down, and everything is very much in order. So when you bring in a couple of decoy bills and nobody believes that they are really the final bill, then for some reason this incapacitates the respectable leaders of the religious right from doing any kind of real activism until that time comes. And so here we are 3 months after the bills were introduced in the 1st of January, and even now the majority of new right organizations are saying nothing about Conyers' bill, even though it's been a week and a half since it was put in.
Mm-hmm. Now, that do you feel that makes the fight against the legislation a little bit more difficult for people like us, or does it just make it a little bit more interesting?
Well, I am very proud of a fairly small contingent of real diehard patriots in America who have followed my advice and have been calling literally since the first week in January. We're going to fight under anybody's terms and under any conditions. But what I think now is that with this bold declaration out of the gay blade, and I'm sure already my e-alert, which went out around 1 o'clock this afternoon, is widely disseminated on the Internet, I believe we're going to have some real action. I did send that e-alert to Bob Unruh of WorldNet Daily, encouraging him to do something with it. That remains to be seen, but I believe that all of the major websites, certainly Jeff Rentz has put up that My Today's article, which will reach many tens of thousands, and I believe we can get some real calling going in there on Monday from both the mainline Christian conservatives and our forces on alternative talk radio.
Yes. Now, at the same time that we're discussing this, you know about some of the legislation that is also being pushed by people like Jay Rockefeller, for instance, who would like to use national security as the means to an end, and that is to censor the Internet or police the Internet. And I'm sure you're aware of that move as well.
Yes, I am. I haven't been able to concentrate it on too much, but these are all, you know, tentacles of this octopus, which also is manifesting itself by the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center
Exactly. Behind
the scenes.
And, yes,
of course, you're very, very aware, of course, of the Missouri Information Analysis Center being a mouthpiece of the ADL a month or so ago, and now Homeland Security. By the way, on CBS Evening News tonight, they featured the latest report by the Homeland Security Department.
Right, that's what
Senate.
I was going to get into. Sure,
yeah,
tell us.
And so this isn't just behind the scenes in Missouri anymore. This is a national attack by the Homeland Security Department and the Homeland Security Committee in the Senate. But what I believe they're going to do, if I might look into my crystal ball again, is I believe they are going to reintroduce the violent radicalization and homegrown terrorism bill, which did pass overwhelmingly in the House in the last Congress. I believe this they're capitalizing on this, the shooting of the three policemen in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. They're going to be moving very soon now to say we need not only a federal hate crimes bill, but we need to set up a federal commission to study the big quote-unquote problem of hate that's being streamed on the Internet. And we need to the bill, at least as it stood last time around, was to set up a federal commission, in-depth commission, the problem of hate and violent radicalization on the Internet.
Mm-hmm. And very particularly, I think it was S-1953 was the bill that had been introduced and to set up that commission we talked about a year ago. And it's very interesting to see that most of what Homeland Security is talking about under this administration, though it doesn't really matter which administration, obviously, they seem to be most concerned about military veterans and so-called right-wing extremists, people who know what's happening to their republic and see what's happening and are aiming to try to do something to stop it. So I think that tells all, doesn't it?
Well, this is the devolving into a great conflict between the government and the ADL and everything ADL has invested in Congress and the government, basically versus Heartland America. I saw on the CBS Evening News tonight these massive protests, tax protests nationwide, and yet tax protesters are being singled out along with pro-lifers and other Christian conservatives. They're all being lumped together as potential domestic terrorists.
I can understand why. I'm one of them. And I'll talk about that to our audience later. But, you know, you're right, Ted. The ADL is the organization that is spearheading this drive nationwide, as they have in Canada, as they have in European countries, all over the world where they can get a foothold, and pass these laws which benefit the ADL's ideology. And they say they're concerned about ending hate, yet if you look on their own website, they seem to be engaging in the very same kind of hatred that they accuse others of engaging in, and particularly singling out for ostracization, people like yourself and others who are exposing the unjust nature of this legislation. So I think that's very interesting.
You know, I think what may be happening here, Rick, is that the differences between the religious right, the mainline religious right, and the far right, the alternative talk radio right, may be lessening. We may see a gradual joining of those two forces.
That's interesting, too. All right, stay where you are, Ted, and we'll take a call or two if people have questions, but I want to continue on this subject and what's moving in Congress these days. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio.
Whatever needs to be done, we gotta do ourselves.
Well, here we are. Ted Pike is my guest. I know we're talking about several things, and I certainly don't want to overload our cranial cavities tonight, ladies and gentlemen, but we are basically, you know, pointing out just how multifaceted, I think, Ted, this attack on our liberty, on our freedoms, and our nation itself that is hitting us from all directions. And, you know, it certainly was under George Bush and his administration. It was under Bill Clinton and Papa Bush. But now we see under Obama some rather slick moves that are being perpetrated. And I see that, again, it's not Obama. I see his chief of staff. I see the Israel Firsters. I see the ADL and all of these people who are enemies of the United States, posing as friends, moving through Congress, through their contacts, ADL supporters like Barney Frank and Chuck Schumer and Ted Kennedy and people in their stead working to try to silence us, to silence Americans through draconian measures, you see?
Yes. Well, what's happening is that they are making a wider and wider net. It's not just the KKK, not just the Aryan Nations and so on. They are now including in this Homeland Security report, they're including a wide spectrum of basically patriotic Christian conservative organizations, and since they have put this huge net around all of us, what it's doing is drawing us together, in my opinion. For example, the report on this Homeland Security statement comes from World Net Daily, and they're very angry about it. They're very familiar with the Missouri report of the undoubtedly they're familiar with the ADL and SPLC being behind it, although they don't say that because it would sound anti-Semitic. Nevertheless, what's happening is that I prophesied that we're going to see some meeting of minds now before too long between major forces in both spectrum, both sides of the right in America, realizing that we have a common enemy that's coming from Washington, coming from big media, coming from Jewish activist groups, and we're going to have to work together for a change.
Yeah, and then I could add this in the mix, too. The ATF under Obama going to bat against the NRA, and I read that as gun owners in America trying to suggest that we're the cause of the malaise at the border, and that if it weren't for the mean and nasty gun lobbies out there, that this drug war wouldn't be, quote, spilling into America as it has. So you see, that's part of the attack as well, to try to disarm Americans. That's essential.
Well, I think all these new right leaders are aware that our movement is growing by leaps and bounds. The numbers of people who are coming to my website, who are coming to some of websites which are more extreme than I am, farther to the right, are really very large. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people are now coming to places like Stormfront and others. And this is not going unnoticed by the religious right. And I believe that as ADL becomes more and more reckless in describing anybody who opposes their agenda, especially concerning Israel, as anti-Semitic, as they become, you know, crying the wolf, wolf so much that it loses all of its meaning, I believe that at least in the back rooms and ultimately we may see coming out of the closet some of these new right leaders basically agreeing with what we're saying and perhaps even telling their people. For example, Donald Wildman, who is the founder of the American Family Association,
mm-hmm.
has
yes.
made some conspicuously so-called anti-Semitic statements. He has, in a number of instances, described the Jews as in control of the media in America that's corrupting our values and,
mm-hmm.
and traditions. He's also, several years ago, he boldly joined together with several other leaders to say that if Jewish supremacists are going to continue to trash our values and strip us of all of our precious Christian symbols,
mm-hmm.
then maybe we ought to just think about stopping supporting of Israel. And
yes.
so here's a man who does know the score. And, of course, at this stage in the game with a million or so constituents, probably 2 million constituents who are all very much Israel firsters, his hands are bound from really speaking any truth. But as I say, this could change as everyone starts feeling the pressure from Washington.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you're right also about the ADL picking up right away on the crime that was committed in murdering those police officers in Pennsylvania. And this character, who apparently was a very troubled young man, and right away, the way the media telegraphed the fact that he had done a short-term internet talk show caught my eye originally. So I knew there was a message being conveyed there. And, of course, the ADL was only too willing to jump on that story and try to use the broad brush, as you say.
Well, the ADL wants to create the impression it's just not on the far right. They did mention Alex Jones, you know, and but they want to include all Christian conservatives, basically all Christians. And I have talked before and written emails about the Department of Global Anti-Semitism in our U.S. Statement Department, which does say that anybody who says even if the Jews killed Christ 2,000 years ago is a anti-Semite, a classic anti-Semite.
All right, Ted, stay where you are, and we'll take some calls for you right here on the program, Rick Adams Uncensored, on republicbroadcasting.org. Please support Republic Broadcasting. Rick Adams, be right back.
By some awful quirk of fate, the Morlocks had become the masters and the Eloi their servants. The Morlocks maintained them and bred them like cattle.
And we are back now, fellow cattle, and we're talking with Ted Pike of truthtellers.org. Ted, I'll take a couple of calls in a moment or so, but it is overwhelming now to see exactly with this big protest today as we speak across the nation with hundreds of thousands, if not over a million, people getting together for whatever reason and for whatever good it will do. And I don't think it means very much to the politicians, but the reality is that people are getting upset. They are reaching the breaking point if they haven't already, and they're speaking. They're speaking out, and obviously that is of concern to the powers that be, the Zionists, the controllers, the globalists. And with all of this momentum now, Homeland Security and Congress legislation and hate speech, hate crimes bill surfacing, and goodness knows what else, there seems to be a collision course that this year we're going to see a dramatic event take place, one way or another.
Yes. Well, I had hoped that the economic crisis would be so distracting, so absorbing for Obama that he wouldn't want to take on the religious right and take on the American people by pushing Antichrist Orwellian legislation down our throats too fast. But I think that that's too optimistic. I think that it's very clear that they're going to work toward a international monetary system on one hand, and they're also going to impose draconian restrictions and surveillance and persecution upon the American people. And even though these protesters, I looked at a lot of the signs on CBS News tonight, and although these protesters might not fully know the full story of the forces that are arrayed against them, Nevertheless, the fact that more and more American people know there's something very wrong in Washington, something wrong with our government and media and so on, this cannot help but lead them over to a deeper understanding of what's really against us. And, of course, that leads right back to Jewish supremacism coming out from Israel, AIPACs in Congress, Jewish control of the media, Jewish control of the White House, and war-making potential in the Middle East and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we are, as you say, on a collision course. We're on a race for the finish line now. And it's important, of course, that we go forward wisely, especially according to the will of God and in trusting in God and in national repentance and so on, because he is solidly behind us. And the spiritual element is very important, that we not give ourselves to literally to this violent radicalization that the ADL wants to accuse us of. Instead, we need to join together as a nation, like the ancient Hebrews, under the leading of the Lord and in guidance and under sound leadership, staying as far away from true extremism as we possibly can.
Very well. Okay, and let's see if we can take a couple of calls here. Let's stay on topic, please. Let's deal with the legislation we're dealing with. And the number is 800-313-9443. And let's start with Henry in Connecticut. Hello there, Henry.
Hello.
Yes, Henry.
Yeah, all right. This legislation that you're talking about, does this have to do with the thing with the Politano and this monitoring any groups that people opposed to illegal immigration or third world immigration, period, or if they say something about this, that, and the other?
Are you talking about the violent radicalization bill or the hate bill?
Well, there's a couple of crap things out there. There's a hate bill out there that was voted for, but it didn't pass one side or the other. It was like one version of it was voted for by the Senate. I did some research. Another version of it was voted by the Congress, but they didn't cross the other side. In other words, it didn't come up for a vote on the other side. And then you have another bill, like the one that you just mentioned. Now, what's coming up?
Okay, we have two bills we're talking about as the immediate potential threats. One is not a potential threat. It is an actual threat because it is now in the House Judiciary Committee in Congress, and that is Representative Conyers' big and very, very threatening federal hate crimes bill. The bill number is H.R. 1913. It's called the Hate Crimes Prevention Act.
Let me write this down.
Yeah, it's called the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act, and that's H.R. 1913. Now
1913. I got that. Okay.
H.R. 1913, and that is the overwhelming threat right now. Because what that will do is it will create a federal hate crimes bureaucracy and Gestapo in America with the power to put in jail pastors, talk show hosts, even people on the street corner who make statements, especially from the Bible against homosexuality, has the power to put them in jail alongside with some unstable person who might take their views and commit a violent hate crime act. Very dangerous. It is a speech crimes law. It will also unite federal and local law enforcement, stripping us of our state's rights in law enforcement. Will very quickly degenerating into a massive federal speech crime, thought crime law like they have in Canada. And so that is the big threat right now. We need to get calls going in immediately to Congress, especially throughout Congress, not just in the among the members of the House Judiciary Committee, but all of Congress now has to hear from us against Conyers' hate bill.
John Conyers?
Yeah, that's Representative John Conyers.
That black communist guy. By the way, he's connected with WBAI.
Yeah, he's the head of the House Judiciary Committee.
I know what he looked like and everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's the main threat. The potential threat looming on the horizon, which I see, is the violent radicalization and homegrown terrorism bill, which I think they're probably going to introduce fairly soon. But that's just speculation. But the propaganda is building up now, leading to the people perhaps being receptive to that kind of legislation.
And all right, now is that, does that have a bill number?
Well, not now, because it didn't go anywhere in the last Congress. It died in the Senate Homeland Security Committee under Lieberman's committee in the Senate. So they'll give it a new bill number, and at that time we'll be able to identify it. But basically all that does is it sets up a federal commission for a year to study the problem of streaming Internet hate and how such hate speech on the Internet might incite violent acts, violent radicalization, you see. So it is not...
This is apart from Jay Rockefeller's initiative as well.
Like, press Lamb and Link, and they're going to go after people like Hal Turner. But, you know, if there's rap artists out there talking about kill this, kill Whitey, kill that, and have all kinds of rap songs, it'll be very selective. They won't go after them.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, but they'll go, that's what that is. Yeah. Well, this is what Savage was talking about today. I'm not saying I believe everything with Savage, but he was talking about this very thing the past couple of days, Michael Savage on his show. And even though I know, you know, I'm not sure what he's connected with, but out of all those...
Well, we know he's with the ADL, and we know what his game is, but he's the one that said we should be in jail just 3 years ago during the Bush administration. That is, the people that protest the war. So it is interesting.
Yeah, right. He goes back and forth because now
he's concerned
with his own welfare, because now he's talking steaming, you know, tonight.
Sure.
He was talking about the thing with Napolitano. He was talking about this bill you mentioned here, but I have the number wrong. That's the thing. He said it right, but that's why I wrote it down. I want to make sure.
Was he talking about the federal hate crimes bill, Conyers bill?
No, he wasn't talking about that. He's talking more generically about the...
he's saying it was a bill.
He's basically couching it as an Obama versus you, the American people. It's the usual, you know, dialectic where it's left versus right, right versus left, rather than the Jewish ADL against the American Christian public, you know?
No, he said that there was a bill, 19-something. He said there was a bill, I heard it 2 days ago, that could shut up talk show hosts or anybody.
Oh, really?
He's referring to the terrorism bill we're talking about.
Well, that's he mentioned that. No, but he also said there's two bills. It was just like what you're saying.
I mean, there's in the House and the Senate as well.
It sounds to me, Rick, that there's a possibility that he did mention Conyers' bill. And if that's true, that's good information.
Well, I doubt it, but I'll pass on that. It may very well be just a passing reference to it. Okay, Henry, anything else?
What I was going to say. All right, I'm going to call on this this week, and it's in the judiciary, you say?
Yes, in the House Judiciary.
All right.
But we have been. Be sure you call your two senators and your member of the House from your district. Don't worry if they're liberals, because they have to know the people are against this, and who knows, we might get one or two to come over. In fact, in the last session of Congress, we had 11 Democrats who were pro-hate bill. They came over to our side, and especially in the Senate, if we can just get one or two, really, to come over, we can defeat the hate bill in the Senate because the margin is so small. So be sure and call your senators immediately tomorrow morning and just say, please don't vote for Representative Conyers' very dangerous hate crimes bill, H.R. 1913.
13, right, 1913. That's
and let me just give out the toll-free number there.
What
if,
a year,
if I can.
Too.
The toll-free number to your member of the House and Senate is 1-877-851-6437. Again, that toll-free number to your member of the House and Senate is 877-851-6437. And the toll number is 202-225-3121. Again, that toll number to the House and Senate, 202-225-3121. And just tell them, please don't vote for Conyers' hate crimes bill, H.R. 1913.
Okay, thank you, Henry, for the call. Let me see if I can take another call here. We're going to go to, let's see, Keith in Indiana first. Hello there, Keith.
Yes, hello, Rick.
Yes. Go right ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, I mean, what good has calling and writing the Congress people done in 50 years?
I'll tell you real fast. In the last Congress, the 110th Congress, we defeated no less than six major Orwellian bills, starting with the hate crimes bill and ENDA, and all the whole Democratic agenda went down the tubes. In the first year, they were all defeated as a result of massive calling from the religious right as well as alternative talk radio. In the second year, because the Democrats were so preoccupied with getting the presidency, they had to drop the whole thing. It was a tremendous setback. And we've got to do the same thing right now and not give the slightest quarter to any kind of pessimism about the usefulness of calling to Congress. It does work. It's the only light we have in this darkness, and we've got to light this candle rather than curse the darkness.
Okay, you gave an answer. Now can I give an answer?
Sure.
Congress doesn't work for the American people. They work for a bankrupt corporation that's in receivership to the international bankers who are called the merchants. All right?
Yeah, I know all that. I know all that as well as you do.
Yeah,
but
you
the
didn't
fact
defeat
is,
anything. You see, they're deceiving you.
Yeah, I know it. But the only thing you're telling us to do here is basically give up, march on Washington with our pistols and our pitchforks and throw the bums out, which is not a workable alternative.
No, I didn't
say that. We still
have
to hang on to the legislative process and give it our best shot.
I didn't say anything about marching with pitchforks.
Yeah, well, I know the mentality. I know
well,
the mentality.
You don't know the mentality.
Yeah,
let me
the mentality. The mentality is that there is this tremendous conspiracy against us, and everybody's bought and paid for in Washington. Well, I am telling you, we worked spectacularly in the last Congress, and we've got to reproduce the same kind of strategy this time around, which
yes,
is calling.
Well, you know what?
Making personal calls to Congress.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it wasn't their time to put it through. Now it is.
It was
their
time. It was their time, and the American people threw them back. It was their time. In fact, the hate bill has been in since 1998. This is going on the 11th year it's been in there. They've tried to pass it every time. But we have thrown them back, and we've got to continue the same policy and program this time around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, by either fall... Certainly, the latest next summer, 2010, will be under full-blown martial law.
Okay.
You're mistaken.
Yeah.
You're wasting all your time. You should be worshiping
you.
The God of Israel.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right. So basically what you're saying, Ted, is that you've heard that before, and in the last 10 or 11 years, it hasn't happened.
Well, that's right. And I believe that this conspiracy that Keith is talking about, our very greatest enemy now is this spirit of pessimism, gloom, and fatalism that goes throughout the far right. Do you realize that only about one-tenth of 1% of listeners to my programs, sometimes I've talked to several hundred thousands of them in a week, and only about one-tenth of 1% even have the scratch to pick up a telephone and make those calls. What we have is a vast audience of sidewalk superintendents who are watching on with some kind of grim satisfaction or masochism as this nation is going down and our republic is being destroyed, but they can't bring themselves to lift their forearm, lift a telephone and make a couple of calls to Congress.
Mm-hmm.
This has to be rejected. We have to go forward. Everybody tomorrow morning has got to go to that telephone and call because they're moving fast. They're going to move this bill onto the floor of the House of Representatives, according to the Gay Blade, by the end of this month. And we've got to raise a holy howl to Congress right now in protest.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, regardless of how one feels about the efficacy or non-efficacy of calling, you know, we're still going to hear from people all the time who will take the time to call the show and complain about complaining. So, I mean, what good does that do? I just don't know. I mean, I think we have an obligation to stand up for the truth and to stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free. I mean,
absolutely.
Regardless of the consequences, we know the times we're living in. We know how evil they are. We know how bad things are. But the fact of the matter is, we still have an obligation to be watchmen on the wall.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be back. Ted, you stay tuned. More call just ahead. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio, right here on RBN.
Have you been at the front?
Front? What front?
Why, the war, of course.
What war?
Good heavens. You mean you don't know we've been at war with Germany since 1914?
And we are back now with Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org. You can go right to the website, by the way, to get all this information online right now if you have your computers ready to do so. And let me just take one more call this hour here. Joe from Texas. Hello there, Joe.
Hello, Rick.
Yes. Good evening. Go ahead.
Ted, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am, Joe.
Yes, I've talked to you before, sir. I'm one of the guys that goes down on the border down here in Eagle Pass on the weekends. But I agree with you 100% in calling our congressmen and our representatives. Because if we do it, because I think, Ted, if we do it by faith, God's going to honor that.
He will.
And I believe that what concerns me is you, people like Rick, myself. I'm a veteran, sir. I've been out of the service since 1980, prior to the Nicaragua invasion, and I am not, sir, Ted, a right-wing extremist. And that's what concerns me. And what concerns me also is my belief. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the power of His blood and the power of His Holy Spirit. And if I'm condemned for that as an American and a patriot, then there's something wrong, sir.
Yes, very wrong.
And I agree with you. I agree that we, you know, I have written letters to my representative, my state representative. I have called, and I believe God's going to honor that.
Yes,
and
He has in the past.
And I believe that, Ted, that when it goes past that to where that man won't honor God's word, then it's up to the Holy Spirit to lead us in the where we need to go.
That's right. You know, Joe, back in 2001, I was pretty much doing this whole thing single-handedly. The hate bill was up for discussion and vote in the Senate. And as a result of many letters, intelligent letters, which our small band of patriots sent in to the Senate,
yes, sir.
The National Press Club, one member of the Spotlight newspaper was at the National Press Club, and they were all abuzz. The members of the Senate were getting so many good letters, intelligent letters against the hate bill in 2001, that it gave courage to Senator Kyle from Arizona and another one or two to stand up and to defy Tom Daschle on the floor of the Senate and said, hey, wait a minute now, let's not push this through too fast. And Daschle was so terrified of even the smallest amount of discussion of the hate bill that year that he shelved it. He completely abandoned it because he did not. But you see, the whole premises and demands of this hate crimes legislation is so preposterous and so evil and so shaky, he didn't even want to have it talked about. But it was those letters, those few, relatively few intelligence letters that came in and caused the National Press Club to tell Jim Tucker of the Spotlight that there was a buzz, that there was some opposition out there among the people that killed the federal hate crimes bill in 2001. Now, you know that you talked about the Lord and the power of the Lord to give a small number of people who trust in Him and do the right thing disproportionate influence, disproportionate power. The Bible says, one shall chase 1,000, two shall put 10,000 to flight.
I think, Ted, it's mainly just discernment we lack in Congress, sir.
All right. Listen, if you want to just stay on the line, I tell you what, Ted, maybe you can stay for the next 5 minutes at the top of this hour, okay?
You bet.
All right. We'll wrap things up then, and if you have to stay on, you may also stay on, Joe, but let's take a break. Rick Adams.